Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, August the 29th. Well, as we heard in National Public Radio news, relations between the U.S. and Iran are becoming more and more strained, to say the very least. And our guest this hour is concerned the U.S. will strike Iran within the next 6 months. We'll find out why and talk with him about some of the latest news involving Iran, Iraq, and the U.S., and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Robert Baer, intelligence columnist for Time.com. He is a former CIA field officer assigned to the Middle East. He is the author of See No Evil and, most recently, the novel Blow the House Down. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I understand you're working on another book.
I am. I'm writing a book about Iran, what is going to happen after this war is over in Iraq.
Yeah.
My thesis is that Iran is now the predominant power in the Gulf, and it is in effect, or will become, close to a superpower.
Well, we'll talk about why you think that, but the reason I also brought that up is that the publication of your forthcoming book may be after what you consider to be an inevitable strike against Iran by the U.S.
Well, that's the ironic thing. This is the way it started, was I called my contacts around Washington, old colleagues, people at the State Department, the Pentagon, and I said, hey, I'm writing a book on Iran. Do you want to help? Or, you know, give me some ideas, where this is going to lead. And they said, you're going to be too late unless you can publish this thing in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the origin of my article.
Yeah. So why are these officials saying to you that this strike is inevitable?
Well, they're dealing with the White House. The White House is not putting this plan on paper, needless to say. This is going to be a case of hot pursuit. My friends believe this. It's going to be in a reaction to some attack against U.S. forces. They're going to produce at the last minute evidence that shows that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has been killing Americans, training Shia, on and on and on. You've seen the stuff in the press, and they're going to hit them. They're going to hit them hard by air and possibly at the same time hit the nuclear facilities.
So a strike against the Guard and the nuclear facilities.
That's the predominant idea.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that they don't want to start a full-scale war. We don't have enough troops in the area. They know that. We don't have troops in the United States to go to that kind of war in the Gulf. They want to intimidate the Iranians. I frankly think that they're overestimating the effect that the strike will have.
Yeah, why do you say that?
I think it'll unite the Iranians. I think that Ahmadinejad will go to the Iranians and say, look, it's the Americans, it's American imperialism, they want to control the region, they want to destroy the revolution, and I've told you this all along, and this is what we're fighting about, and I think the Iranians, just like we lined up behind the president after 9/11, they will line up behind Ahmadinejad and the clerics.
Yeah, the people don't like him very much now, do they, Ahmadinejad?
He's not particularly. He's a bit of a comical figure, even in Iran. He's an apocalyptic Shia. He believes in end times. He believes in the return of the Mehdi, and this will all be part of some sort of cataclysmic conflict with the United States. Most Iranians don't believe that. They're not quite sure how he became president. The economy is not doing particularly well, but I don't think we should look at that as Iran is on the edge.
Yeah. Even if a strike would unite the Iranians, wouldn't it also take out the threat of the nuclear capabilities of Iran?
My expertise on this is not very deep.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of these facilities, the ones they're probably making a bomb in, are deeply underground. The shafts are not directly over the facility, so even if you dropped, for instance, a tactical nuclear weapon down one of these shafts, it would not completely destroy the facility. Heavy bombers, of course, wouldn't destroy it either. You would set back their program. You would hit the sites that are completely open, and they'd be set back for years. I'd like to add, though, that I don't think the Iranians particularly care. They would look. They would almost welcome that sort of strike. It would put them in superpower status to be hit by the United States. They would, again, go back to Muslims and portray themselves as the great anti-colonial power, the defenders of Islam, the defenders of Mecca and Medina, and on and on.
Yeah. So, you know, why would the Bush administration risk that then?
They're still being influenced by the neocons. As we know, this surge in Iraq was done out of the American Enterprise Institute by two consultants who conceived this thing. Much of the Iranian thinking is being done outside of the bureaucracy, outside of State Department, outside of the CIA. They're bringing in private experts, Bernard Lewis, people like that. What do we do about Iran? They also will never admit this war in Iraq has put us into a huge strategic jeopardy. I mean, you know, you have to look at what we did in 2003. We destroyed the only Arab army. We upset the balance in the Gulf. And the only army left is Iran's.
Yeah. And, in fact, Iran's president in the news this morning warning that a power vacuum is imminent in Iraq, and he says Iran is ready to help fill the gap. And that's got to make the Bush administration a little nervous, too.
Well, it terrifies the Arabs, too, as well. The Saudis in particular, they are building a special force to protect their oil facilities, to protect against an Iranian occupation of Iraq. And they are pushing the Bush administration as well. When Cheney went out to Saudi Arabia to see King Abdullah, it was Iran, Iran, Iran they talked about. And Abdullah said, what are you going to do about the Iranians? So they're being hit from all sides on Iran. And then you also have Israel. I just got back from Israel. And the Israeli position is, ironically, is you people have made a mess out of Iraq. You've put us in danger. And what are you going to do about it? You better do something about Iran.
Yeah. Speaking at a news conference, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the political power of the occupiers is collapsing rapidly, referring to U.S. troops in Iraq, and that his country and regional friends like Saudi Arabia can help. Is he right?
I think he's right. I mean, we need a regional solution to Iraq. The surge will not work. It will never work. Things are worse in Baghdad than they ever were. The violence may be down slightly, but that's because the country is being partitioned, a de facto partition. The Sunnis are leaving Shia neighborhood and vice versa. Yes, we can get rid of everybody in Baghdad, move them out in the country, and it will look a lot safer. But ultimately today, three-quarters of the government we have no control over. Those part of the government the Prime Minister Maliki controls. Their rival intelligence services. You cannot tell in Baghdad which militia is controlling which neighborhood. American friends of mine used to travel around until 6 months ago. Now they cannot travel around at all in Baghdad for fear of getting picked up by a rogue police unit. So what the Iranians are saying is, look, you guys can't control it. The surge is going to end one day. We're going to run out of money or whatever, run out of soldiers, and we're going to step in and we're going to occupy Iraq. That's the message.
Yeah, Bob Baer, do you know anything about why the military might have detained these seven Iranians in Baghdad yesterday or the day before? It's in the news this morning that they have now released these seven Iranians, but they had them, blindfolded and being detained. Do you know anything about that?
I can speculate they're looking for Iranians that are causing problems. I mean, let's be fair. The administration really does believe the Iranians are behind these improvised explosive devices, the sophisticated ones. They believe that the Iranians are supporting Muqtada Sadr. They're looking for evidence. They're looking for evidence either to confront the Iranians in diplomatic channels, or they're looking for evidence to justify a war, one of the two. So they're picking up any Iranians they can, searching through their documents, questioning them, preparing what they're going to do during the next 6 months.
We are talking with Robert Baer, intelligence columnist for Time.com, in a recent Time magazine column. He writes about how the U.S. is poised to strike Iran militarily, perhaps within the next 6 months. He is a former CIA field officer assigned to the Middle East, the author of See No Evil, and most recently a novel, Blow the House Down. He's currently working on a book about Iran. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, if you have a question for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. John Munson is in for Ben Marins today. After 5, John will be talking with a guest physician about the connection between depression and heart disease. That's coming up after 5. John Munson filling in for Ben Marins. We're talking with Robert Baer, who is an intelligence columnist for Time.com. And in his recent column, Prelude to an Attack on Iran, he writes, reports that the Bush administration will put Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on the terrorism list can be read in one of two ways. It's either more bluster or, ominously, a wind-up for a strike on Iran. Officials I talked to in Washington vote for a hit on the IRGC, maybe within the next 6 months. And they think that as long as we have bombers and missiles in the air, we will hit Iran's nuclear facilities. An awe and shock campaign, light, if you will. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our first caller is Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning. You know, what's amazing to me is that this is even a news story. I mean, let's be honest. Does anybody from a strategic or political sense really deny the fact that Iran is a threat to the United States? Even setting the Iraq situation aside, I think even your guest would admit that there's no question that Iran and the current leadership there has been building up its own military, its own terrorist infrastructure to launch, you know, to further expand its influence. And it's something we're going to have to address. The real question is not when we attack them, or I should say not if we attack them. That seems to be, that question is answered. The Iranians have answered that. But when? Should we do this before Bush leaves office, or leave that to the next president? It would seem that that really is the question at hand.
Robert Baer?
Mike, it is sort of an obvious story. It's a key story because there is no obvious solution to what we're going to do about Iran. Iran can put a million soldiers in uniform within weeks. The next largest army is Saudi Arabia's in the region after ours, and they can put 250,000 soldiers in uniform, but they can't fight a war. The story is that we, as things stand now, will be in the Gulf for a very, very long time. If we go to a war with Iran, the problem for this administration, for everybody in the world, is will it be open-ended? Will we have a commitment in the Gulf for the next 50 years? Will we have to put 50,000 soldiers in each Arab country? You know, we'd probably need 500,000 soldiers simply to contain Iran over the next 20 years, which will change a lot of things in this country as well. We are getting deeper and deeper into the Middle East, not getting out. My preference is to get out, but you know, don't trust me. I grew up in the 60s in California.
So how big a threat is Iran to the United States?
It's a huge threat. It is a huge threat in that, well, let me put it in two ways. It used to be simply a terrorist threat. The Iranians blew up the Marine headquarters in Beirut in 1983. They directly took hostages. Ahmadinejad's brother and he himself were involved in terrorism attacks against the United States. They were involved in Khobar, just to run through a couple of the attacks. The interesting thing last year in the 34-day war with Israel is that Hezbollah did not kill or capture any Americans. They could have. This tells me that the Iranians have backed away from terrorism as they become more powerful and have become much more of a classical strategic threat. There are people who will tell you, and I'm going to save this for my book, they'll say, let's go to Tehran, let's deal with them, let's acknowledge their power. And there are people saying, you can never deal with these people. The Iranians, the clerical regime, are crazy. We have to behead them. And that's the only thing we can do. A strike on the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps could deter them, but we don't know that for sure. And if you're of the school that we have to change the regime there, we do have to behead it. But we're going to have to deal with Iran as a danger or as a new strategic entity, which we're going to have to negotiate with. But there are no in-between choices.
Yeah. And based on those you are talking to in your own research, you think this military strike is going to happen before Bush leaves office. It's not going to be left to the next president.
You have to look at the people in the administration. They can't afford to have Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in the White House who are going to probably prevaricate on Iran, push it down the road, sort of like Clinton did. That's the standing wisdom in Washington. The Democrats don't have the stomach for a real strategic war. So people around Bush are saying, we have to do it, it's not going to be done, or we're going to face this danger much worse in 10 years. So their feeling now is it has to be done now. The same way with the Israelis are saying it's got to be done now. Otherwise, we're going to get hit by a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. Well, who's right?
You know, can I be agnostic on that? Ahmadinejad has American blood on his hands, and he's obviously crazy. He spent $2 million on widening the streets of Tehran for the return of the Mahdi, who disappeared in the ninth century. What do you do about somebody like this who's in power? And it's unclear how much power he really has because it's Shis. Khatami, his predecessor, didn't have all that much. He couldn't command things. And then you have Khamenei, the spiritual leader, who's the de facto leader of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's difficult to tell what he's thinking. On the other hand, it is not appetizing to think we're going to have to put 500,000 soldiers in the Gulf in addition to what we have and fight a war there, an endless war, sort of like the Ottomans against the Persians. Having become sort of a weak-kneed academic or journalist, if you like, I'd say let's go to Tehran and ask them what they want. What would it take to reach a solution?
Fair enough. Mike in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I've been listening with rapt attention. I have a couple of comments and a question. First of all, I'm a little confused by your guest because on one hand he says it would be a mistake to strike Iran, and on the other hand he said that their president is crazy. So, I mean, you know, which is it? That's one comment. Another thing, I recently read an article by George Friedman from an organization called Straffer. I'm sure you're aware of them. And he talked about the Iraqi endgame and the options that the U.S. has, immediate withdrawal, staged withdrawal, or something that I've been shouting for is redeployment to the Iranian-Syrian border. Let the Iraqis figure it out for themselves and contain Iran that way. A strike on Iran, I think it's inevitable. I think if we don't do it, I think the Israelis probably will. They'll probably use a nuke because, you know, they don't have the aircraft to be able to carry out a strategic bombing like we could. And it would seem that the best solution is this redeployment and containment.
Any thoughts on that, Robert Baer?
Well, let's go back to my favorite subject, and that's oil. The Gulf contains two-thirds of the world's oil reserves, approximately. I mean, all these countries are lying about their reserves, but as much as we can figure it out, it's about two-thirds. We simply cannot afford right now, maybe not forever, to give up the oil like this to the Iranians? What if they cut it off? We do need to redeploy. We do need to get out of Iraq. Iraq is a failure. We're wasting influence. We're wasting soldiers there. It will never be solved. So, yes, we do need to redeploy. We need to stay in the Gulf. But my ambiguity about striking the IRGC is we simply do not know what the Iranians' reaction is going to be. They have promised to shell and rocket the oil facilities in the Gulf. They could probably hit Abqaiq, the major facility in Saudi Arabia, with rockets fairly easily, hidden rockets that we couldn't hit right away. They could take out 6 million barrels within 24 hours. That would be a catastrophe for oil markets, just the risk factor. They could probably, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago about Iran's capability of closing the Strait of Hormuz, which is another possibility. So it's not like we can walk away. But what I would do is before we consider doing anything to Iran is go there and negotiate. We haven't talked to Iran since 1979, seriously. Iran-Contra was an utter failure. It was done in secrecy. It was none of the diplomatic issues were touched in Iran-Contra. I think it's time we just show up. It doesn't preclude us from taking military actions later.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Christopher in Appleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah. Obviously, Iraq's a quagmire. Obviously, we have all these problems there, and obviously, we're not getting any more loved for our presence there by Iran or anybody else in the Middle East. So I think we have to definitely take the fact that Iran hates us due to our foreign policy, and not necessarily due to the fact that we're born under a red, white, and blue flag. Why and how did it get so acceptable for us to go into preemptive war where we can go and say, well, they can do this and they have these capabilities, when the reason that we're there to begin with is try to get more of those capabilities that they don't have?
This is exactly the question I'm struggling with is perceptions. We define Iran as a terrorist state. It's commonly defined as a terrorist state. They define themselves as essentially an anti-colonial state. So why are there American troops in the Middle East occupying a country when our polls clearly show that we're not welcome there, that 95% of the non-Kurdish population of Iraq oppose our presence? And I'm liberal with that statistic, but it's not that far off. You people are a colonial power occupying Muslim countries. You should leave, and we are right, you're wrong, and then we can negotiate as equals. That is the message that they are spreading around Iran, and there's a lot of resonance. And we shouldn't get confused that the Iranians like iPods and American music, and they smoke opium, and they sound like us in many ways and oppose the economic policies of Ahmadinejad and their riots at Tehran University. That doesn't mean that they don't look at the world in colonial and anti-colonial terms. Now, a complication that's been grafted on this is 9/11 and terrorism and radical Islam and suicide bombings. But I'd like to add that if you look at Iran, there have been no suicide bombings really since since the early 90s. I mean, it stopped. I mean, there were quite a few against Israeli forces in Lebanon, but in 2000, the Iranians, and again, I underline the Iranians, completely stopped them. In 1996, the Iranians stopped terrorism against the West. The Iranians continue to support Hamas and the Islamic Jihad in Palestinian areas. They look at that as an anti-colonial war. So that we're looking at the world completely from different perspectives, which doesn't help. This brings us back to the question of Israel. Now, most of the suicide bombers that I've talked to, the ones in jail, and I've been doing programs for British television for years, especially the ones in Pakistan, don't even know where Israel is. So that's not an issue. But for the Iranians, they're going to want to negotiate on UN Resolution 242. And anything that keeps the Palestinians happy. They've told this over and over again through back channels. They will not demand that Jerusalem be liberated. Their propaganda is just that, propaganda. So there maybe is room for negotiation that's acceptable to Israelis, acceptable and acceptable to the Palestinians.
Yeah. What do you make of this? In his first major foreign policy speech as president, Nicolas Sarkozy of France said on Monday that Iran could be attacked militarily if it did not live up to its international obligations to curb its nuclear program. Sarkozy emphasized that such an outcome would be a disaster. He did not say France would ever participate in military actions against Iran or even tactically support such an approach. But the fact that he brought it up is perceived by Iran as a warning of the consequences and by the Bush administration as acceptance of its line. So,
The French president Joy doesn't speculate on things like this. You know, just wakes up in the morning. He's obviously been approached by this government, saying that we may have to hit Iran to stop what's going on in Iraq, to stop the nuclear facilities, and everything else they're doing. Also, Sarkozy is very close to the Maronite Christians in Lebanon. The more radical ones are saying you have to do something about Hezbollah. So he has two optics on a potential war with Iran, and that's Hezbollah. It's a very important issue for him. So I think the administration is going out and saying, you know, we simply cannot stand for an Iranian domination of Iraq and the Gulf. It would be a disaster for everybody. Sarkozy has acknowledged this.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he's agnostic like I am. A hit on Iran, a minor hit, could cause more problems than it solves.
Let's go to Steve in Oshkosh. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Just a clarification. The quote I read from Sarkozy was that negotiations are preferable to Iran with a bomb or to bombing Iran.
But, well, yeah, he said that the outcome would be a disaster, so, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But my question is, wouldn't President Ahmadinejad be absolutely justified in world opinion in using the Bush doctrine, and that is, we must attack the U.S. before it attacks us, it's a gathering threat, and or declaring, for example, the U.S. Marine Corps a terrorist threat, and we must capture and detain and kill Marines wherever we can find them because they are clearly a terrorist group. It seems to me the world would rally behind him.
Well, let me answer it in this way. You have to, you know, I got paid for 21 years in the CIA looking at it from the other guy's point of view. What the Iranians see is Western hostile troops on two borders, Afghanistan and Iraq. They also see an administration that's ready to conduct a preemptive attack based on sketchy intelligence or no intelligence at all. So they are looking at the United States as I said, a colonial or ascendant power who wants to take control of the Gulf in a way that we've never had control. Even the British weren't involved, you know, since they were in the Gulf. So the Iranians, on top of it, they're generally, and I will be politically incorrect, but I'll say it anyhow, are a paranoid people. So we are feeding their paranoia. They're taking a fort, U.S. academics, Iranian-Americans, is part of their paranoia. They probably have the ex-FBI agent, Bob Levinson, who disappeared in Kish Island. In fact, I know they have him. They look at him as a spy, even though he'd long left the FBI. So, you know, this is worse for the mixture, their paranoia. And then, you know, then again, let me go back to the apocalyptic president, Ahmadinejad, who's unpredictable.
We're talking with Robert Baer, intelligence columnist for Time.com, former CIA field officer assigned to the Middle East, author of a number of books, including See No Evil, and he's working on a forthcoming book about Iran. We're talking about Iran and his belief, based on his discussions with his sources, that the U.S. is poised to strike Iran militarily within the next 6 months. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn's guest says, though history has romanticized war, the belief that it's ennobling, even useful and progressive, has been replaced with the belief that war is repulsive and immoral. She welcomes in Lewis Lapham, who is with Harper's Magazine, coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking with Robert Baer, who is intelligence columnist for Time.com. former CIA officer assigned to the Middle East. We're talking about his piece in Time that you can see on time.com right now called Prelude to an Attack on Iran, in which he says the Bush administration is poised to militarily strike Iran, probably within the next 6 months. Saeed in New York, listening on the internet, joins us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much for taking my call. I have read your guest piece. He, along with several other authors, one of his former colleagues, Ray McGovern, and Scott Horton and Harper's, have written similar articles. I would like to respectfully disagree with their conclusion. And the reason I say that is that you have to look at the intent to declare the Islamic Republican Guard Corps as a terrorist organization from the viewpoint of internal Iranian domestic politics. And for that, you have to understand what's going on in Iran. Particularly in the last month, there has been a significant intensification of the repression against the Iranian people. A new front has opened in the struggle of the Iranian people for liberty, and that is the front of the Iranian workers. Workers' unions are, of course, outlawed in Iran, but the Tehran city bus drivers have been on a political campaign to gain rights. Their leaders have been significantly repressed. Mansour Osanlu and Mohammad Mahmoud Salehi have been now in prison for the umpteenth time. The world is completely aware of this. August 9th was declared the Iranian the day of Iran action by workers' unions and human rights activists. Well, all throughout the world, people demonstrated and picketed Iranian embassies and consulates in support and solidarity with the Iranian workers.
So, Saeed, why do you say this? You disagree with our guest who says the Bush administration wants...
I'll get to that in just
well,
just
I don't,
a second.
We understand that you think there's an uprising of people and that they are unsatisfied.
So, and much of this repression has been conducted by the Islamic Republican Guard Corps. In the United States, for domestic political reasons, the American left has been completely silent on the issue of the struggle for liberty in Iran. The designation of the Islamic Republican Guard Corps as a terrorist organization is the Bush administration's way of declaring solidarity with the Iranian people. As Bush said repeatedly, as the Iranian people stand for their rights, his administration stands with them. This is his attempt at that.
All right. Well, let me get our guest in on this, Saeed, and maybe there's an opportunity for a follow-up. Robert Baer?
Well, I have a historical bias, and the historical bias is that, yes, there is dissent in Iran, and, yes, the IRGC is repressive. It's always been repressive, and, yes, it is a terrorist organization. But I find that in my looking at history, any time a foreign power interferes in a revolution or a process like this, it tends to reinforce the totalitarian side of a society, which in this case is Ahmadinejad. I think he would use any sort of strike on Iran to inflict more oppression on the Iranian people, put more people in jail, and silence them. And that's just my feeling. And there are experts much better on what's going on inside Iran than I am, and I defer to them. But up until now, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Anything further, Saeed?
Yes. Where would the solidarity movement in Poland be if the world had not rallied to their cause?
We didn't send military into Poland.
The world needs. There's only one peaceful solution for. Never in the long tumultuous history of Iranian American relations, there has never been a time where the interest of the Iranian people so coincides with the interest of the American people. There is only one peaceful solution out of this quagmire, and that is regime change by the Iranian people. Mm-hmm. To the extent that the world can support us in that cause, that is the extent to which we avoid war.
Yeah. All right.
No, I think Saeed is right. We should support the democratic forces in Iran. We should support the liberal side of Iranian society, which has a long tradition and is very important. But what worries me is a military strike actually hitting Iranian bases will have the opposite effect. And that's simply not to be known at this point.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You brought, Saeed brought up the media and how the liberal media is not paying attention to the plight of the Iranian people in their fight for liberty. I've been looking at some material that says that there is, especially Fox News, liberal groups saying that Fox News is on a march to war with Iran as it was before the Iraqi war. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, I think they are. I think that the way that Fox, and by the way, I do go
right.
On
in fact,
Fox.
I saw you interviewed on Fox. Yeah.
I do go on Fox, mm-hmm. And yes, they are going along with this war. And let me remind you, it was the liberal media that was equally responsible for getting us into the Iraq War, mm-hmm. The Washington Post and the New York Times in particular. And even the New York Times now, there's a particular correspondent there, we don't need to name him, is carrying the view of the Pentagon that it's the Iranians that are responsible for most of the problems with the Shia and so forth. So the liberal media is not exactly ignoring Iran or what's happening in Iraq. They are passing on the administration message, which I may add is this administration has a stronger case against Iran than it ever did against Iraq, which isn't particularly comforting. But that's the truth, and the reason I say that is because there's been a long history of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps killing Americans. It's a casus belli that goes back to 1982 and 1983. This is old history, but it's important for the people in the administration. The Iranians took the first hostages in Beirut in 1982, unprovoked. They took an American university professor. He was acting head of American University of Beirut. And trust me, the people inside the administration are dredging this intelligence up. They're looking at it and saying, this is an evil regime. We've waited too long to go after them, and now's our time. We've only got, 15 months?
Okay. Thank you, Saeed, for your call. Linda in Monroe is with us now. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Great program. Good morning, Mr. Baer.
Good morning.
I agree with you. I personally think President Bush is after Iran for the same reason he was after Iraq, and that's because of the oil. Now, I believe the people should get behind Representative Dennis Kucinich, who's running for president. He wants to impeach Vice President Dick Cheney. Now, he has a bill number, H.R. 333, and once I think he gets the number of people he needs, I think maybe this could slow down President Bush's plan to invade Iran.
Yeah, we don't want to change the subject, Linda. That's a stretch. It's because of the oil, Robert Baer?
Oil is key. Come on, you know, we are on this phone, we're in this program thanks to oil, and it's largely Middle Eastern oil. We don't get most of our oil from the Middle East, but it is a fungible product. And if something happens to the Gulf, we go into a depression and not a recession. It is a crucial issue, and we should be debating this, and this should be debated in Congress. It should be debated in the press, and there's not enough of it. I mean, I find it remarkable. I'm a columnist. I'm not an investigative reporter. But when I start talking about writing a book from Iran, and everybody, and these people all deal with Iran in the administration in one way or another, say to me, you better hurry up because you're not going to make the publication deadline. Well, I already knew that. Tells me this is an issue that we are not really looking into. I mean, I get emails from congressmen who ask, you know, what are we going to do with Iran? I even get people from inside the government asking me what we're going to do with Iran. And the policy is being made in the Oval Office. This administration no longer trusts the bureaucracy. It certainly doesn't trust the press. And it thinks this is such a crucial issue that they're not really going out of the White House. Bush and Cheney are in a bubble. There are reasons for it, but on the other hand, it's enormously dangerous if two or three men make this policy, and we make a horrible mistake.
Yeah. So do you think that Dennis Kucinich's bill calling for the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney will slow down any plans?
Absolutely not. I think that these people in the White House believe they're right. I think it doesn't serve us to assign motives like the Halliburton contracts in Iraq to Dick Cheney. And he's gone way beyond that. He's a believer. He's a believer of what happened in Iraq. I think they'd go back in again, even with this mess that it is. And I think that he truly believes, from what I've heard, that Iran must be hit sooner rather than later, at least before they get out of the White House.
Yeah. Milton in West Allis. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, always follow the money. There's two important money issues going on right now. Big, what they call bin Laden trades on the market, which range in estimates between $2 and $4.7 billion, betting that our economy is going to go south by September 21st. And about the only thing that could do that would be a big terrorist strike here, false flag or real. The second thing, and we really ought to be talking about that because that's being held out of the news. When that much money changes hands in the stock market, we ought to be looking into it. None of the mainstream media is saying
maybe
anything.
We'll look into that when we're talking about that.
Oh,
but
okay.
Now,
the second one is, what if they cut off the oil? This is fantastic for all the neocons. They loved the fact that us hitting Iraq kept oil off the market because it made prices go up. If we take 6 million barrels a day off the market in a strike on Iran, oil company profits will go through the roof.
All right.
That's an interesting idea. You know, that's a fascinating aspect to this whole story, is that the Bush administration, which is supposedly pro, you know, you look at the Clinton administration when we had $10 a barrel of oil and we're paying 70, you know, plus dollars for a barrel of oil. And before we went into Iraq, the neocon argument was, look, we need to supply Iraqi oil. We're going to kick the production up to 6 million barrels. And as we all know, it's fallen. Most of the oil has been stolen, has gone into militias and the rest of it. So this administration doesn't really care about what the American consumer pays for oil. And I think that they're just going to dismiss this as a problem.
Yeah. So today it says in this news story that I have here that President Bush will describe Iraq as the front line against Shiite extremism championed by Iran. He says that Iraq is the front line against Iran.
Well, it's true in a sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in Tehran. I think it was in Qom, that's the holy city of Qom, 2 years ago, and talked to an Ayatollah. And he wasn't particularly well plugged into the regime, but he reflected Shia opinion. And he said to me, this was on camera, that as soon as we give the opportunity, we are going to go into Iraq and we're going to get rid of these wild wolves. And he was talking about the Sunni. And we're going to kill them. We're going to put them down like the savages they are. It was a remarkable statement. So here's the scenario. Here's one scenario. We redeploy in Iraq to the Syrian border, to the Kuwaiti border, to protect the Gulf states. We keep our air force in. The Iranians go into Basra. They go into the south. They clear out Baghdad of Sunni. They then are effectively in control of 3 million extra barrels. They're sitting on the Kuwaiti border. Their rockets are in better range of the Gulf Arabs and the Gulf Arabs Pact, and they do become a strategic threat at that point. That's a catastrophe scenario. And of course, we all hope it doesn't happen. But these are the kind of terms the Arabs are looking at, the neocons are looking at, and analysts in general.
Next, we go to Janice in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Joy. This is a very upsetting discussion that you're having today for me. I'm Catholic, and I am very much a pacifist, and I hardly can stand listening to this aggressive type of discussion to me, because I really believe that we need to... Your guest, thanks to God, was speaking about negotiation, and I'm thinking that is where we need to concentrate on getting along with each other in this whole world, not this militaristic, aggressive stance that we're taking as the U.S. and inciting the Middle East. We are causing more problems by being over there. We need to come out of there and start working to help these people, humanitarianly speaking, not militaristic aggression. And thank you.
Yeah, and Robert Baer?
I don't think America is ready to go into a 20 years war in the Middle East. What we risk, if we cannot, in a strike, decapitate the regime in Iran, as I go back, and I will keep so it over and over again, we risk going to war with 1.2 billion Muslims. And again, that's a catastrophe scenario. But if we expand the war in Iraq to Iran, and it could easily, and this is what most people in the military are worried about, that any day there could be an accident, whether it's in Basra or in the Gulf, or somebody crazy from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps fires a rocket at one of our ships, sparks off a conflict, open-ended. And that does worry me. And the two issues here we're dealing with are oil and Israel.
Yeah.
And these are very emotional issues in these in this country, and they're absolutely crucial. And I'm a pessimist. I got paid for being a pessimist, so don't entirely trust me, but I think we will be in some sort of war with Iran before long.
David in Fenimore, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to mention that this is a result of the disastrous policy of invading Iraq.
Right.
My question is, where do you see Russia in this suggested madness that you're talking about?
Well, Russia is fueling it. Russia is arming the Iranians, and their interests are obvious. If there's a conflict in the Middle East, they become the major sole producer of oil. Their economy has recovered in the last 5 years because of the price of oil, and especially since Iraq. So if they continue to send weapons to the Iranians, they get what they want. They head back for superpower status. The Russians don't want to see a nuclear war or anything, but they think they can fuel the Iraq-Iranian conflict, tie up the United States in these endless wars, and they win.
Yeah. One more quick one. John and Appleton, we're just about out of time.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the domestic politics. I mean, the domestic politics in the U.S., just talking about if we attack Iran, the Iranians will rally around their government. What if our government is using the same logic and say, well, we get in another war, U.S. will rally around us, and maybe the Republican sagging poll numbers will be reversed.
Well, we only have 30 seconds, Robert.
I think it's an important consideration, especially if the economy goes south the next couple of months. You can distract people with a war, and you can say, look, the Democrats couldn't possibly handle something like this. We need a new Republican president.
Fascinating. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Robert Baer, intelligence columnist for Time.com, former CIA field officer assigned to the Middle East, author of See No Evil, and most recently the novel Blow the House Down. He has a piece posted on Time.com, Prelude to an Attack on Iran. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour and to Leo Duran for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.